إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session, reading from the book Al-Qur'an, Hablullah Al-Mamdood, the Qur'an, Allah's outstretched rope, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to conclude the first part of this course, yani with the final readings from the first part of the book, that is Hablullah Al-Mamdood. And next week, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will start with the second part of this course, that is Kana Khuluquhu Al-Qur'an. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character was the Quran. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to conclude, as I said, yani the first part of this course, yani with a brief discussion about, or at least an example of how the Quran, even one ayah of the Quran, can change a person's life, and why we should take this matter seriously and seek, yani to cure the sicknesses of our heart and our faults and our shortcomings by means of the Qur'an and how it is done. Before we look at what we want to read from tonight, we're going to go back to some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 4. The first question being, memorize an ayah in which Allah describes the Qur'an as shifa'un, a cure or a healing. And the Shaykh mentioned 3 ayahs from the Qur'an, from the 17th surah, 82nd ayat, 41st surah, 44th ayat, and 10th surah, 57th ayat. So any one of those ayats that somebody has memorized, inshallah, as a reminder to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has said that the Qur'an is a shifa, a healing, for that which is in the hearts or the souls of the human beings. Okay, Shu'aib. Naam. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, huwa lilladhina amanu. Yani, that this Quran is for those who believe, hudan wa shifa'un. Yani, a means of guidance and a cure for that which is in the human being. Yani, the Quran is a guidance and a healing, a cure for our sicknesses and our illnesses. Yani, this is from Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah and 44th ayah, another ayah. Anybody else remember different? Musa. وَشِفَاعٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Yani this from Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 57th ayah, that begins with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Yani, O people, indeed there has come to you a maw'idha, meaning? Advice, admonition. Yani, warning from your Rabb, وَشِفَاعٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and also a healing for that which is in the chest, وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and a guidance and a mercy for the believers. Anybody remember the third ayah, yani, from Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 82nd ayah that the Shaykh mentioned? Nobody? طيب, نعم, Musa.
شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين. ظالمين
خسارة. نعم. That indeed we have revealed from this Quran ما هو شفاء, that which is a healing, ورحمة and a mercy للمؤمنين, and it doesn't increase the wrongdoers except in loss. These ayahs, all of them, are clearly indicating that the Quran is a shifa, as well as it is huda, and it is rahma, and so on, للمؤمنين, for those who believe. The second question discussed the statement of Qatada, rahimahullah, in which he states that the Quran directs you to your sickness and your cure. Naam, Ibrahim. على دائكم
ودوائكم.
دائكم
دائكم فذنوبكم, وأما دواؤكم فالاستقاء.
نعم. يعني قتادة رحمه الله رحمة واسعة, and he said indeed the Quran يدلكم على دائكم ودوائكم. It points you, points out to you the داعي, يعني the داعي, يعني your sickness as well as your cure. As far as your sickness, it is your sins. ذنوبكم. As far as your cure, it is al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness. And this shows the great importance, يعني, of paying attention to our deeds, our sins, our acts of disobedience, يعني shortcomings, and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting to Him from them. This is the cure for the sickness. Question number three, the many diseases of the heart all go back to two types or categories. Mention the two types of diseases of the heart. Naam, Abdul Halim. Naam, the amrad of the shahawat and the amrad of the shubuhat. The shahawat is what type of sicknesses? Lower desires. Ones, yani? Lower desires. Yani the desires to do things that are not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shubuhat refers to? The doubtful matters. And these two things, yani, they are removed by, yani, shahawat is removed by iman and taqwa. And shubuhat is removed by knowledge, by ilm, by knowledge. Studying the Quran and the sunnah and the sources of Islam. Question number four, discuss what is necessary in order for the Quran to be effective in curing the disease, in curing the diseases of the heart. What is necessary in order for the Quran to be effective in curing the diseases of the heart? Naam. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hanif. Naam. Shu'ayb. Contemplation on the ayat. Okay. Uh-huh. Anybody else want to add? So that what? Hearts have to be moved. What moves the hearts?
The warnings.
And also thinking about the meanings.
What it points to.
What it points to. Indications. Yani, the Shaykh, he said, La Buddha an yasil al-Qur'an ila al-qalb. Yani, the first thing is that the Qur'an, in order for it to be effective, it has to reach the heart. And it can't be just on the tongue, right? It has to reach the heart. So that the heart can be moved by the ayat of the Quran and their meanings and their indications and yani the warnings that came in the ayat and reminders that came in the ayat, that these things move the heart, which give life to the heart, or move the yani, make the life of the heart yani make the heart come back to life, yani to make yani have movement in the heart, so that there will be life in the heart, and in this way sicknesses and diseases and corruption will be removed from the heart. Yani, the heart is moved if the ayats reach the heart. And the person understands the meaning of those ayats and what they point to, the indications, yani, indirectly and directly, as well as, yani, the admonitions and warnings and reminders that are contained in the ayat of the Quran. This is what moves the heart, and this is what gives life to the heart, and this is what removes sins. Question number five, discuss the hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im with Kasra Mut'im radiallahu anhu and how it relates to the effect of the Quran upon the heart. The hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu And how this hadith relates to the effect of the Qur'an upon the heart. Ibrahim.
Before he became a Muslim,
reading
in the Maghrib Salah, ayats from Surah Al-Tur.
He heard him reading in the Maghrib Salah, ayats from Surah Al-Tur.
Naam. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُصَيْطِرُونَ
Naam. Yani the meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning. Yani the people who claim that there's no creator. Have they been created from nothing, yani without a creator? Or are they themselves the creators of their own selves? Or are they the creators of the heaven and the earth to the end of those ayats? And he said, when he heard that,
he said it was as his heart was about to fly out of his chest.
As though his heart was about to fly out of his chest. Yani to take flight. How it affected his heart. That's how it affected his heart when he heard those ayats. Yani, they are effective if what? If it reaches the heart. And the person reflects and ponders and comprehends and understands the meaning of what is being addressed in those ayat. And by the way, those ayats from Surah At-Tur 52, 52nd Surah, ayats 35 through 37. Question number 6, and this should have been the final question because last week we didn't reach the topic that came in question number 7 and question number 8, which we'll discuss today. They will be the first two questions on the study guide for today. So the last question would have been, give two examples of a sickness that a person may be suffering from and an ayat that could be used to cure it. Sheikh gave yani, three examples, naam, or four.
Someone could be afflicted with the love or the strong desire to look at the muharramat.
The sickness of looking at the opposite sex, naam.
And Sheikh said the ayat from Surah An-Nur, كل المؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أذكارهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون.
Yani the Shaykh said, for example, a person might read the ayah where Allah says, "Kul lil mu'minin," or "Kul lil mu'minin." Yani say to the believers. And again, this is a hint to us that this is for those who have iman. So the people who don't have iman, their heart is not going to be affected unless they open their heart and submit and surrender and accept it, accept this speech and comprehend it. Then it will affect them. So say to the believers that they should, yani, lower their gaze, their looking. And they should guard their modesty, and that this will be more pure for them. Yani, a person reflect upon that doing this, Allah has given us the instruction, and then He's telling us that doing this will be more pure for you, will purify you, and help you to be pure and remove from you corruption and immorality and filth. And He ends the ayah by saying that indeed Allah is Khabir bima yasna'un. Allah is well aware, fully aware of what you're doing. This is also a reminder to us, a person reciting this ayah, that this is to do so is pure for you, and Allah is fully aware of what the people are doing. Allah is aware of what you're doing. If a person reminds themselves of this, repeats and reflects and ponders over this, indeed this has to, if it reaches the heart, has to have an effect on the heart of the person that has any iman, that Allah is fully aware of what you're doing. This should help you. Another sickness that the Shaykh mentioned in the ayat that he mentioned.
Yeah, he said also that if the problem of the person is fulfilling the rights of the parents.
Fulfilling the rights of parents and shortcomings with the rights of the parents. Now,
reflect upon the ayah from Surah Al-Isra.
Surah Al-Isra.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَقَالَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا يَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَإِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُل لَّهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُل لَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُل رَّبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا.
And these ayats yani primarily yani remind the believer of the rights of parents and the importance of their rights and the status of parents, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying yani that Allah has commanded that you do not worship anything besides Him, and that you yani be dutiful to parents, yani showing that the right of parents is side by side with the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, not to worship anything alongside of Him. And also yani in these ayats we are reminded of being humble to our parents and not saying a harsh word to them and speaking to them honorably and so on, to the end of what it reminds us of the rights of parents and importance of honoring them and respecting them and treating them with kindness. and generosity and charity and gentleness. Naam. And another sickness that the Shaykh mentioned in the ayat? Naam.
The Shaykh mentioned, من وجد في نفسه ضعفاً يتوكل على الله.
Person has weakness in their reliance, putting their trust in Allah. Naam.
The ayat from Surah Al-Talaq, ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه.
يعني from Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 33rd ayat, whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient. Allah huwa fahuwa hasbu. Yani he will be sufficient for them. He will suffice them, their needs. And then, yani there were other ayats also that the Shaykh mentioned. This is just an example of how, yani a person may look at the Quran and locate those ayat that may be helpful for you to cure the sicknesses that you are experiencing. Our time is limited tonight as the Maghrib prayer is upon us, so we want to quickly go to the last final reading from this first part of this course. Yani the Hablullah al-Mamdood, the outstretched rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we want to read, yani last week we read in English from page 45 to 53. Yani the bottom half of the page, we're going to start in English reading from bottom half of page 53. And we read in Arabic from page 23 to 27, yani halfway down page 27. So in Arabic, we're going to start reading on page 27, halfway down, yani where the Shaykh, after mentioning these examples and other examples of the sicknesses of the human being and the thing that a person can do by examining the Quran, repetition of ayahs from the Quran, pondering and reflecting over them, the Shaykh says, خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ لَا يُحْسِيهِمْ إِلَّا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ سبحانه وتعالى زالت أمراضهم وشفيت أسقامهم بسماعه والاستشفاء به والقصص في هذا كثيرة جدا. That there are so many people who only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many they are, whose sicknesses and diseases have been removed and cured by listening to or seeking cure by the Qur'an. And the stories concerning this of people who have been cured by the Qur'an are many, very, very many. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَتَحَدَّثُ أَنَّ هِدَايَتَهُ بِسَبَبِ آيَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ سَمِعَهَا وَأَخَذَ يُرَدِّدُهَا وَيُجِيلُهَا فِي نَفْسِهِ وَتَتَقَرَّ فِي قَلْبِهِ حَتَّى جَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِيهَا هِدَايَتَهُ وَصَلَاحَهُ. Yani, and there are many of the people who have spoken, who have talked about their guidance, that the cause of them being guided back to the right path, it was one ayah from the Quran that they heard, and they took hold of it, and they repeated it, and they pondered over it, or weighed it within themselves. Yani, thought about it carefully. وَتَتَقَرَّرْ فِي قَلْبِهِ. And it is repeated again and again and again in his heart until Allah made that one ayat, he placed in it the guidance of that person and their uprightness, to be guided aright, to righteousness. Yani one ayat from the Quran. Here the Shaykh mentions the story of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, and this story is only an example. And there are many stories like this that could be told. Maybe we ourselves, some of us are stories that could be told. Some of us are stories that could be told. How we were guided from, yani, complete darkness and ignorance and criminality and corruption, from the worst of human beings being guided to Islam by something that we read in the Quran. This is the story of one of the scholars of Islam. Yani, the Shaykh says, فَالْفُضَيْلِ إِبْنِ عِيَّادِ من أئمة التابعين. And he's from the Imams of the Tabi'een, from the second generation of Muslims after Sahaba. And his second generation of Muslims, he was from the Imams of the Tabi'een. He wasn't just from the Tabi'een, which is an honest status, he was from the leaders, the Imams, the scholars of the Tabi'een. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi says concerning him, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad ibn Mas'ud ibn Bishr Al-Imam al-Qudwa al-Thabt. Yani, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi describes him as Al-Imam al-Qudwa al-Thabd, Shaykh al-Islam, Abu Ali al-Tamimi al-Khurasani al-Mujawiru biharmillah. To the end of what he said about him, that he is the Imam, he is the Qudwa, the example or model that other people follow. From amongst Tabi'een, in the generation of Tabi'in, he was an imam. He was an example, a model that the people of his time looked to follow in his footsteps. He was a thabt, yani reliable, trustworthy, credible scholar. He was Shaykh al-Islam, Abu Ali, yani this. He reached the level that they described him as Shaykh al-Islam, At-Tamimi al-Khursani, the one who made yani his place of residence to be near to the sacred yani grounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mujawiru biharmillah. The Shaykh says that he spent half of his life before his repentance yani yaqta'u at-tariq ala an-nas, yani stopping the people who were traveling along the roads, sticking them up, robbing them. Naam, that's what he was doing before he repented from that. He was a Muslim, but he was a criminal. And the people, the caravans, yani a whole caravan would go down the road and they would be in fear of one man, Fudayl ibn Iyad. Whole caravans would fear him until he reached his 40s. And it is mentioned in the biography, his biography in Sir, Al-A'lam and Nubala, yani the biographies of the noble scholars written by Al-Imam Al-Zahabi. It's mentioned there. أَنَّ السَّبَبْ تَوْبَتِهِ أَنَّهُ عَشِقَ جَارِيَةً فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ يَرْتَقِيَ الْجِدْرَانِ إِلَيْهَا إِذْ سَمِيَ تَالِيًا يَتْلُو أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. To the end of the ayat. Yani that the cause of his repentance, it was that he was yani passionately in love with a young lady. And while he was climbing, ascending the wall to her place, he heard a reciter reciting this ayat from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 16th ayat. The saying of Allah, أَلَمْ يَعْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Notice again, iman in these ayats. أَلَمْ يَعْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Has not the time come when those who believe, أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that the hearts of those who believed yani would display yani خَشْعَ of Allah, yani that hearts would be softened and humbled due to the remembrance of Allah, the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is revealed of the truth, yani in the Quran. I just want to look quickly at the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi concerning this ayat. The Shaykh, he says, and I won't read all of it, but you should go back and look at it, that when Allah mentioned the condition of the believers, and he mentioned the condition of the believers, believing men and believing women, and the munafiq men and women, in the next life, he mentioned their condition previously to this ayat, then this is what invites the hearts to have khashya of their Rabb, and that they submit and surrender to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah scolded the believers for the absence of this, for the absence of having humility and humbleness and surrender, the believers, from not having, yani this should have caused their hearts to submit and surrender. But it didn't. And Allah scolded them by saying, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Yani has not the time come that those who believe that their hearts should be humbled and surrendered and softened for the, to the remembrance of Allah, this Quran and what has been revealed of the truth? Yani hasn't the time come when their hearts would be softened and they would express the khashya, the awe from the remembrance of Allah, and that is the Quran, and that they would surrender and comply with His commands and avoid His prohibitions, and that their hearts would be softened by that which has been revealed of the truth that came with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this ayah, there is an encouragement that a person should make ijtihad, should strive and struggle to yani display khushu' of the heart, humility and awe of the heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when yani the book, yani the Quran and the hikmah, the sunnah, was sent down, revealed, and that the believers should be reminded by the mawa'id, the admonitions, divine admonitions, and ahkam al-shar'iyya, and the legal rulings, all the time, and that they should يعني يحاسب أنفسهم على ذلك, take account of themselves, to the end of what the Shaykh said here, يعني in this tafsir, يعني reminding us that this ayat, it was Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing those who believed in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying to them, hasn't the time come that your hearts should be softened and humbled and surrendered, yani, from the remembrance of Allah and that which has been revealed in the Quran? And in any case, yani, Al-Fudayl, he was a Muslim, he was a believer, but he was engaging in behavior that wasn't pleasing to Allah. And when he was climbing that wall, he heard somebody reciting this ayat, and it touched his heart. When he heard it, he said, "Bala ya Rabb, qad ana faraja'a fa'awahu al-laylu ila kharbatin fa'idha biha sabilatun." Yani, he said, when he heard it, he said, indeed, the time has come for the hearts to be humbled in awe of the remembrance of Allah, O my Rabb. The time has come. So he returned, yani, he descended from the wall. فَآوَاهُ اللَّيْلِ, and he found shelter in the night until he traveled to a place where there were some ruins. فَإِذَا بِهَا سَابِلَةٌ, and he, yani, when he arrived there, he noticed that there were some people there, yani, people, travelers who had been passing by and they had stopped there. He found those people there when he arrived. فَقَالَ بَعَدُهُمْ, he heard some of them saying, let's go on and travel. And he heard some of them saying, no, let's wait until it is morning, for indeed Fudayl is on the road robbing the people. He will rob us. Yani, these people had stopped there at these ruins during their travel. They stopped there during the night. And when he came there, he heard them talking about him. And he said, I thought about it. And I said, أَنَا أَسْعَى بِاللَّيْلِ فِي الْمَعَاسِي, here I am exerting myself in sin during the night. And these people from the Muslims are here in fear of me. He said, وَمَا أَرَى اللَّهِ سَاقَنِي إِلَيْهِمْ, I don't see that Allah has driven me to them, taking me to this place where these people are at, إِلَّا لِأَنْ أَرْتَدِعُ, يعني, except that it may be a means for me to check myself, to curb myself, to restrain myself from this behavior. He said, Allahumma inni qad tubtu ilayka wa ja'altu tawbati mujawarata al-bayti al-haram. He said, O my Lord, indeed, I have repented to you, and I have made my repentance. Yani, the form of my repentance is that I have, yani, dedicated myself to live in the vicinity, in the proximity, in the neighborhood of Al-Bayt al-Haram, the sacred house in Mecca. فَذَهَبَ إِلَى مَكَّةِ وَبَقِيَ فِيهَا عَابِدًا إِلَى أَنْ تَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So he went to Mecca, and he remained there as a worshipper, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until Allah took his soul subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Mecca, the ulama came, yani, the scholars, of course, were going to and coming from Mecca, and the muhaddithun, the scholars of hadith, وَيَتَلَقَّ عَنْهُمْ, so he received from the scholars knowledge, and he took from the scholars, yani, al-fiqh, and he memorized from them the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, he stayed in Mecca and benefited from the scholars from different places in the world who came to Mecca or who resided in Mecca, and he learned from them, yani, the deen, the fiqh, and the hadith, and so on. The Shaykh says, وَلَا تَفْتَحْ الْآنْ كِتَابًا مِنْ كُتُبِ التَّفْسِيرِ أَوْ كِتَابًا مِنْ كُتُبِ الْفِقْهِ أَوْ الْحَدِيثِ أَوْ غَيْرِهَا إِلَّا تَجِدَ نُقُولَ الْعَظِيمَ, النُّقُولَ الْعَظِيمَ عَنْ هَذَا الْإِمَامِ. He said, you cannot open a book today from the books of tafsir or the books of fiqh or the books of hadith or other than that, except that you will find, yani, النقول العظيمة, يعني, I don't know, any great sayings that have been transmitted from this Imam. آية واحدة غيرت حياته وحولت مساره من مجرم كبير إلى عبد من العباد وصالح من الصالحين بل إمام من العمة. يعني, here's the story of a man who one ayat, it changed his life and transformed the path that he was upon from being a major criminal, mujrim kabir, to being an abid, a worshipper from the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a righteous person from the righteous people. Rather, indeed, he became one of the imams of the people of Islam. He became one of the imams of the people of Islam. The Shaykh says, after mentioning this story, I think there was a man, I'm saying, yani I think his name was Ibrahim Khalil. This is a story in our time. A man who was a missionary. In brief, Ibrahim Khalil. He was an Egyptian missionary. And he was taught by the highest level of missionaries in his time to give da'wah to the Muslims, to convert them to Christianity. And after spending many years in studying with the great scholars of the Christian missionaries, he said that he determined to become the greatest converter of Muslims to Christianity. And he went to study with the greatest scholars, and eventually he said, if I really want to convert them, I'm going to read their books. So he started reading the books of the Muslim scholars. And to make a long story short, when he learned the true Islam, not what he had been taught, the falsehood against Islam, he eventually converted to Islam. But in his story, he tells how there was a big conference, a missionary conference, where he was one of the main speakers. And while he was making his speech, what he had been learning about the truth of Islam affected him to the extent he couldn't go on with his lecture. And he left the podium and left the conference. And while walking through the streets to his home, he heard somebody reciting an ayah from the Quran. And that ayah affected him to the extent that he locked himself in his library in his home and recited it all night long. And in the morning, when his wife banged on the door, what's happening with you? Where are you at? What's going on? He opened the door and told her that he has become a Muslim. His story is a long story, but in any case, he eventually became one of the major scholars in Egypt in this time. Yani, in this century, he became one of the major scholars in Egypt on the board of the major scholars of Egypt. And he was a Christian missionary. And he heard an ayah from the Quran that affected his heart like this. And the stories like this are many. There are indeed people amongst us, yani, whose stories are similar to this, yani, that something about Islam or something from the Quran affected them and converted them from being, yani, major criminals to being, yani, righteous, upright Muslims. For this reason, the Shaykh says, يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَمْرَاضِهِ وَفِي أَسْقَامِهِ وَفِي مَشَاكِلِهِ وَيَبْدَأُ يُدَاوِي نَفْسَهُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Yani, it is for this reason that a person should reflect upon, think over their sicknesses and their illnesses and their problems, and they should begin to treat themselves with the Quran. Yani, we shouldn't just accept our condition the way it is. Rather, the Quran is the cure. Then it is incumbent upon us to begin to treat ourselves. In the same way that a sick person goes to a doctor for treatment, we need to turn to the Quran, which is the treatment for the sicknesses of the heart. We need to treat ourselves by the Quran. إِذَا كَانَ مُتَهَاوِنًا فِي الصَّلَاةِ مُقَصِّرًا يَكْرَوْ آيَاتِ تُذَكِّرُهُ بِمَكَانَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَنْزِلَتِهَا وَيُرَدِّدُهَا وَيَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا وَبِهَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَةِ يَحْيَى قَلْبُهُ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, the person, every one of us should begin to treat ourselves. So if a person was lax with the salat, yani, not taking the prayers seriously, and they were falling short in fulfilling their duty related to the salat, then they should read ayat which remind him or her of the station or status of the prayer, yani, its status in Islam, and should repeat these ayat. And they should supplicate to their Rabb Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make you, me, any one of us, to be from the Ahlul Salat. Yani, the people who give care to the Salat and protect and preserve the Salat. And in this way, life is given to the heart by the permission of Allah the Most High. Yani, by recitation of the Quran, understanding its meaning, pondering, reflecting, accepting it into our heart. By this way, life is given to the heart by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ينبغي له قبل أن يقرأ وينبغي له قبل أن يقرأ القرآن يتعلم كيفية الاستفادة منه حتى يتم له الانتفاع به. And here the Shaykh says something very important, that it is incumbent before a person starts reading the Quran يعني to seek cures in the Quran, that they first learn كيفية الاستفادة منه, the way, the manner in which, how a person benefits from the Quran, so that they will complete and perfect the benefit for oneself from this Quran. Yani the meaning is that if a person wants to take a medicine to cure some kind of sickness, they have to know how to take it, right? How much, how often, in what amounts, after eating, before eating, whatever, right? You have to know how to use it. It's not just having the right medicine, but knowing how to use it. And likewise, the Quran is cure for the heart, naam. But a person needs to know first how to use the Quran for as a healing. So he said, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ فِي هَذِهِ فِي هَذَا قَاعِدَةً جَلِيلَةَ الْقَدْرِ عَظِيمَةَ النَّفْعِ. Yani that Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, has mentioned a principle, a qa'ida, that is jalilat al-qadr. Yani it is lofty in its, yani qadr, its value or its worth. Azimat al-nafa, it is great in its benefit. And this principle, yani Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, إِذَا عَرَدْتَ الْإِنْتِفَاعَ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Yani if a person wants, intends to get benefit from the Qur'an, فَجْمَعْ قَلْبَقَ عَنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَسَمَاعِهِ وَأَلْقِي سَمْعَكَ وَحْضُرْ هُدُورَ مَنْ يُخَاطِبُهُ بِهِ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْهُ إِلَيْهِ. Yani if a person wants to get benefit from the Quran, he said three things. فَجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ عَنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وسماعه. فجمع قلبك يعني فرق له قلبك. يعني the meaning here is يعني to gather together, to bring together all of the elements or the instruments or the tools of the heart. Bring it together. يعني focus the heart on this one matter at the time of reciting the Quran or at the time of listening to the Quran. Cause your heart to focus. Bring your heart to focus. Not that different elements of the heart are giving attention to different things, but bring it all together. فَجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ عَنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَسَمَاعِهِ. Focus the heart. وَأَلْقِي سَمَعَكَ يعني be quiet so that you may listen to the Qur'an. يعني give your ear to the Qur'an. As some of the scholars said, it means to listen with both of your ears. To listen with both of your ears. Some scholars said, استمِع الكلام فنوعه فوآه وآه وتعقله بقلبه وتفهمه بلبه. يعني that a person listens to this speech, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he comprehends it with his heart and he understands it with his mind. يعني presence of heart and mind, a listening that requires presence of heart and mind. وألقي سمعك يعني listen attentively. Be quiet and listen to the Quran. وَحْضُرْ حُضُورَ مَنْ يُخَاطِبُهُ بِهِ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْهُ إِلَيْهِ. وَحْضُرْ حُضُورَ يعني وَحْضُرْ حُضُورَ يعني that a person should be present, have presence of heart and mind, but what kind of presence? حُضُورَ مَنْ يُخَاطِبُهُ بِهِ. The presence of the one who he's being addressed with it. من يخاطبه به. يعني the one who, he is the one who's being addressed with this speech. من تكلم به سبحانه وتعالى. يعني being addressed by the one who is actually speaking this speech. منه إليه. From him, Allah, to him, the one who is being addressed. يعني the meaning is what? That the presence should be the presence of heart and mind of the one who is being addressed with this speech by the one who is speaking. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is speaking to you. Minhu ilayhi. The Shaykh, yani Al-Alama ibn al-Qayyim, he says, yani if a person wants to benefit from the Quran, fajma qalbak. Yani focus your heart at the time of reciting the Quran and listening to it, وَأَلْقَى سَمْعَكَ. And, yani give ear fully. Yani, you listen, listen, listen to the what is being recited, what you are reciting, what is being recited, and have presence of heart and mind like the consciousness or the presence of the one who is being spoken to by the one who is yani speaking with this speech, that is the Quran being spoken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that a person should be conscious and be aware that their heart and their soul should be filled with a consciousness within yourself that you are the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing directly with this speech. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Razak says, فَهَذِهِ طَرِيقَةٌ نَافِيَةٌ وَعَظِيمَةٌ جِدًّا. That this is a way that is beneficial, and it is very great, yani benefit from this way of benefiting from the Qur'an. Yani for a person to benefit from the Qur'an and to seek cure from the Qur'an. And it is not that a person reads ayat and finishes from the reading of those ayat, and it is as though the amr, the affair that is being in these, that came in these ayats, is not of concern to you. Yani it is not that we read ayats and finish reading them, wa ka'anna al-amra la ya'anihi, as though it doesn't concern you. Yani these ayats about somebody else. Bal alayhi an yaqif, but it is incumbent that the person stop, wa yata'ammal, and reflect, wa yatadabbar, and ponder, wa yasta'ina bi kutub at-tafsir, and seek help from the books of tafsir to understand the meaning of the ayat, and seek help from the books of tafsir wa kalam ahl al-ilm, and the speech of the people of knowledge, the ulama. Not just reading the ayat, even if you are Arab, even if you know Arabic, not just reading the ayat and understanding them by your own mind, but seeking help for understanding them so that you can reflect and ponder and benefit from the books of tafsir and the speech of the people of knowledge. وَإِذَا وَصَلَتَ الْآيَةُ لِلْقَلْبِ وَتَمَكَّنَتْ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ حَصَلَتْ الشَّفَاءَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And then if the ayat, if it reaches the heart and it firmly entrenched itself in the heart, then the healing will be achieved by the permission of Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Then the healing will be achieved by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَذَا مَانَ قَوْلِهِ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, وَشِفَاءً لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, that it is a healing for what is in the heart. That is, it's a healing for what is in the heart. Yani the heart that is alive, the one that is listening fully, carefully, and the one whose presence of heart and mind is the presence of the one who is fully conscious that he or she is the one that's being addressed by the one who is speaking, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. أما مجرّ التلاوة, as far as just simple recitation, والحذ, and speedily reading, وعدم التدبر, and not contemplating or reflecting or pondering, وعدم التعقل, without understanding the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and without understanding the meanings of the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, فهذا لا يتحقق به الفائدة المرجوة والثمرة المطلوبة التي ينبغي أن يظفر بها العبد مع هذا الكتاب العظيم المبارك كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى. But as far as the one who simply recites the Quran and hastily reads it and does without يعني contemplation and reflection and understanding the speech of Allah and understanding the meanings of the noble Quran, then this يعني لا يتحقق به, a person will not achieve, will not realize, will not actualize the hoped benefit, the benefit that's hoped for, or the requested or the required fruits of this reading, yani which it is yani expected that a person will gain or attain or achieve or obtain yani with this great book, this blessed book, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he says, finally, وَلْيَحْذِرْ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ عَلَى النَّقِيدِ. And one should be warned from being in this يعني subject or in this يعني topic that we're talking about, meaning recitation of the Quran in order to benefit, as to make it as a means of cure or healing. One should be warned in this topic from being ala an-naqid. That yani you do the opposite. Instead of benefiting from reciting the Quran, then you harm yourself by reciting the Quran. One should be warned from this. And this is as was mentioned by Maymun ibn Mihran rahimahullah. And this scholar, Maymun ibn Mihran, al-Dhahabi says of him, al-Imam al-Hujjah, alim al-Jazeera, wa muftiha, tuwaffiya al-sana 116. Yani, al-Imam al-Dhahabi says that this person, Mihran, or Maymun ibn Mihran, that he was al-Imam al-Hujjah, alim al-Jazeera, wa muftiha. And he was the Imam, the Hujjah, the proof. Yani the scholar of such a caliber that he is the Hujjah. And he is Alim al-Jazeera, the scholar of Jazeera, and it's Mufti, the one who made legal decisions in the land. He died in the year 116, and it is said that he was from Kibar al-Ulama wal-Imma, from the major scholars and from the major imams. He was the teacher of the children of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Khalifa. And he was, and he also made the judge of the land that he resided in, and he was a leader of the armies of the Muslims in his time. And again, yani, as I said, he died in the year 116. It is reported that he narrated hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Aisha radiallahu anha, and Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and others. Yani, he narrated hadith from some of the major companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most prolific narrators of hadith. From amongst them, Abu Huraira, Aisha, Abdul Abbas, and Abdul Umar. Who else can yani, a person seek as a teacher to learn hadith from beyond these people? Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Maymun ibn Mihran, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiyan, he said, inna rajula la yusalli wa yal'anu nafsahu fi qira'atihi. Yani that indeed a man, he may pray and he will curse his own self in his recitation. فَيَقُولُ So he says, for example, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ وَإِنَّهُ لَظَالِمٌ Yani he's saying, isn't it so that the curse of Allah is upon the ظالمين, while he himself is a ظالم. Yani a person should be careful that when they recite the Quran, that they don't recite those things that bring harm to their own self. Rather, a person should reflect upon the Quran and make sure that what they are reciting from the Quran, that they are in compliance with it and not in opposition to it. Al Naqid. وَهَذَا وَإِنَّ الْكَلَامَ عَنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَفَضْلِهِ وَثِمَارِهِ وَأَثَارِهِ وَأَدَابِهِ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا الْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مَعَهُ وَاسِعٌ جِدًّا وَلَعَلَّهُ فِي هَذَا الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ وَنَفْعٌ وَفَائِدَةٌ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The Shaykh closes by saying that indeed this is what yani, we have to present. And indeed, the speech concerning the Qur'an and its excellence and its fruits and its athar, the effects that it has on the human being, and its adab, yani its etiquettes and manners, which it is incumbent for the believing servant to be upon, yani the adab that is incumbent that the believing servant should be upon. This whole subject about the Qur'an, its virtues and excellences and its fruits and benefits, is wasiun jiddan, is very vast. And perhaps what we have mentioned here is sufficient. It is khair and nafa, it is good, it is beneficial, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And the Shaykh ends with this, and then he supplicates with a long supplication, the meaning of which is As'alullah al-Kareem, Rabbil Ashil Azeem, bi asma'i al-husna wa sifatihi al-ulya, bi annahu Allah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa an yaja'ala al-Qur'ana kareema, rabi'a qulubina wa nura sudurina, وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا وأن يجعلنا من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهل الله وخاصته. To the end of the supplication that we ask Allah Al-Kareem, yani the one who is generous, he is the Lord of the magnificent throne. By his beautiful names and his lofty characteristics, and we ask him by the fact, yani by acknowledging the fact that he is Allah, the one besides whom there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped besides him, that he make the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, the spring of our hearts and the light of our chest and the remover of our yani worries and grief and sorrows and remove our yani anxieties and so on, and that he makes yani us to be from the people of Quran, yani the people of Allah, those who are his special servants, and that he benefit us by the Quran, and that he make the Quran a hujjah lana, that he make the Quran a proof for us, not against us, and that he give us success to reflect upon the Quran in the way, in the manner that will be pleasing to him, and that he give us success in acting upon the Quran, and that he make us from the people of sa'ada wal fawz fi dunya wal akhirah, yani the people of yani good fortune and the people of success in this world and in the next life. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik wa an'am ala abdihi wa rasulihi Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. And there's still a couple of minutes, so I just want to quickly read yani the actual full statement of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, quickly, his full statement that the Shaykh, the principle that the Shaykh mentions here, yani it's mentioned in his book, Al-Fawa'id. He said, قَائِدَ جَلِيلَةٌ يعني a benefit, a lofty principle. If a person wants to benefit from the Qur'an, فَاجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ عِنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَالسِّمَاعِهِ يعني focus your heart at the time of reciting it or listening to it. وَأَلْقِي سَمْعَكَ and give your full ear, listen completely to it, and have presence of heart and mind like the one who knows he is being addressed by the one who is speaking with this Qur'an, speech from Allah to you directly. For indeed it is speech from Allah, the Quran, for you upon the tongue of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said in the Quran, Ibn Qayyim says, yani Allah said in the Quran, in reference to this principle, he gives us the ayah that this principle is derived from. Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalbun aw alqa sam'a wa huwa ash-shahid. Surah Al-Qaf, 50th surah, 37th ayat. Yani this is the ayat that Ibn Qayyim derived this principle from, that indeed Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ. Indeed in that, yani in these ayats of the Qur'an, there is a reminder for sure. لَذِكْرَ. It is indeed a reminder. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Yani for the one who has a heart that is alive. أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ. And the one who listens carefully with his ears to the recitation while he has presence of heart and mind, وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ. He said, ذَلِكَ أَنَّ تَمَامَ التَّأْثِيرِ. And this ayat, yani, this is because the completeness and the perfection of the effect, the beneficial effect of the Qur'an, since it is based upon مُؤَثِّرٍ مُقْتَدٍ, one, وَمُحَلٍ قَابِلٍ, two, وَشَرْطٍ لِحُصُولَ الْأَثَرِ وَأَنْتِفَاعَ الْمَانِعَ الَّذِي يَمْنَعُ مِنْهُ فَضَمَّنَتَ الْآيَةُ بَيَانَ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ بِأَوْجَزْ لَفْذٍ وَأَبْيَنِهِ وَأَدَلِّهِ عَلَى الْمُرَادِ. Yani since yani the effect, the full and complete effect of the Qur'an is based upon there being a مُؤَثِّر مُقْتَدٍ, yani something that has yani that necessitates its effect. It will definitely guarantee to be effective. That is the Qur'an. Yani if yani we say that is based upon there being something that can affect you, and that is the Qur'an. And there's mahal qabil, there's some place to receive this effect, that is the heart that is alive. And there's a shart for the achievement of this effect, and that is, that shart is that you have to listen in order to benefit from the Qur'an, you have to listen to it. And there's intifa' al-mania alladhi yamna'u minhu, and there has to be the yani removal of that which prevents a person from benefiting. And that which prevents a person from benefiting is that yani that you don't be inattentive, unmindful, that you have presence of heart and mind, shahidun. Yani these four things the Shaykh said, if the Qur'an is recited and there is a receptive vehicle, yani a vessel, yani a living heart, and the condition is fulfilled in order for that benefit to achieve, which is listening carefully, and that which would prevent you from benefit is removed, and that is that you do not be unmindful or inattentive, rather you pay attention and you have presence of heart and mind, then this ayat brings the clarification of all of these affairs, all of it, in the briefest of expressions and the most clear, and that which is directly indicating what is intended here. Ibn al-Qayyim says, and I see we only have a couple of minutes remaining, he says, so the saying of Allah, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ, indeed in that is a reminder, this is pointing to that which has preceded in the surah up until this point, that is, that in the Qur'an, there is indeed al-mu'affir, that which affects whatever it comes to. And in his saying, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, yani for whoever has a heart, he said here, this is in reference to the mahal al-qabil, yani that there is a vessel that is ready to receive that effect. And what is intended here is the heart that is alive, that comprehends the speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned an ayat that deals with this point. And then he said, and as for his saying, أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَى, yani the meaning here is listening. It means that a person directs their hearing completely and totally, their sense of hearing, to what is being said to him. And this is the condition that's necessary in order for a person to benefit from the effect of speech. That you have to listen. And as far as his saying, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, yani he is present, it means shahid, shahid al-qalb, hadir غير غائب, that a person's heart is present, that they are yani in attendance and they are not absent. Ibn Qutayb, he said concerning this, that you must listen to the Book of Allah while your heart is present and your understanding is present, not that you're unmindful or inattentive. And this yani last point refers to that which would prevent a person. If a person is not attentive, is not mindful, then they will be prevented from getting the benefit of that which they listen to from the Quran. Yani, meaning a person has to be mindful, they have to be conscious, they have to be present in order to understand, to examine, to reflect upon, to look at. So if that which affects is present, that is the Quran, and there is a receptive vessel for it, that is the heart, and the conditions and the mawaniya are fulfilled, then the effect is guaranteed. Quickly, one announcement. Bismillah wa salatu salam wa rasulillah. Just want to remind myself and all of us that today is the 28th or 29th of Dhul Qa'dah. 28th. And tomorrow, Saturday, is the 29th. That means that Sunday or Monday is the first of Dhul Hijjah. Sunday or Monday is the first of Dhul Hijjah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامِ العمل صالح فيها أحب إلى من هذه الأيام يعني أيام العشرة. That there are no ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها. There are no deeds in which good. There are no days in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah. There are no days in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah than these days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. They said, يا رسول الله ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. Not even the person who goes out in jihad in the way of Allah. He said, وَلَا الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْجِعِ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Except for the deeds of a person who goes out in jihad with his wealth and his self, and he doesn't return with anything. Meaning he died in the way of Allah, he gave up his wealth and he gave up his life in the way of Allah. Except that person, there are no deeds that are more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these days. Yani this is the best days in which a person can do good deeds. The good deeds that you do are more beloved to Allah in these 10 days than any other days in the year. And they are more beloved to Allah than any deeds that a person does, except the person who goes out in jihad in the way of Allah with his life and his wealth, and he gives up his wealth and he gives up his life. Yani he doesn't return with anything. And he died in the way of Allah, except that person. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari. The wording here is the wording of Ali, of Abu Dawood. And this hadith reminds us of the importance of these days and the status of these days. And because of the time, and we won't go into the details, but we should mention that in these days, especially a person, and whoever is able to make Hajj or Umrah, they should do so. If they're not able, then there's fasting, there's charity, there's yani prayers, obligatory prayers, voluntary prayers, there's dhikr, there's dua, there's tawbah, repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days. And whatever of good that you can think of, recitation of the Quran, from the easiest of deeds to be done in these days is the remembrance of Allah, dhikr and a dua. A person should be constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah, especially at takbir, wa tahleel, wa tasbih, and in public and in private. And if a person intends to make a sacrifice, which is highly recommended on the day of Eid al-Adha, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, if a person intends to make a sacrifice, then they should not clip their nails or cut their hairs from any part of the body once the first day of Dhul Hijjah enters. Yani, if Sunday is the first of Dhul Hijjah and you intend to sacrifice, make sure you Do whatever you're going to do in terms of clipping nails and cutting hairs before Sunday, if Sunday is the first. Yani once the day of the first of Dhul Hijjah comes in a person who intends to make a sacrifice for Eid al-Adha, yani the head of the family, not the whole family, that person shouldn't clip or cut any hair or nails from their body once the first day of Dhul Hijjah enters. So I'm saying that, yani that hopefully everyone who is able, who is the head of a family or responsible for themselves, they should make a sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha. And if they intend to do so, make sure you clip your nails and shave the places on your body that need to be shaved, yani before Sunday, if Sunday is the first. Again, dhikr and dua are from the easiest of things that a person can do. Fasting, it is confirmed according to some of the scholars. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih, that some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ said that he used to fast on the day of Ashura, and he used to fast yani the 9 days from the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In any case, fasting is definitely from the greatest of deeds. A person should engage themselves and be occupied with these deeds, fasting, charity, prayers, dhikr, dua, whatever it is that you can do, and don't let this time, yani the days in which deeds are more beloved to Allah than any other days of the year. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.